So I'm Brian, and so Mercy and I have been married 25 years, best friends for 27, three beautiful kids, thank God they came out like their mother, and God's a God of mercy, amen. And so Chloe's 18, just finished high school, starting university. She's a worshiper. My son Colin is 16, runs two businesses, started when he was 14. And in January, he said, "Dad, I want $500 to be 10% owner of my company." I said, "No, man, I don't get out of bed for less than 20%. I want 20% of your company." He goes, "Dad, would Bill Gates give away 20% of his company, you know, when he was 16? I was like, "You live in my house. You don't pay rent. I don't charge you food. And so, you know, that's the deal you're going to get." So he took it. But just an amazing young man. And then our daughter Lauren is the party waiting for the place to happen. And so when she shows up, the party starts, led five of her friends to Christ last year in our home. And so just so honored to be with you. I met Pastor Rory in February. Instant connection at a pastor's conference here in Pretoria overlooking the city. And it's so interesting, Mel, I met your husband and our hearts did this. And I said, "Man, now there's a guy." And I called my wife right after the meeting. I said, "I met this pastor named Rory. Don't know anything about this bloke, but he seems like a good guy." I said, "But I tell you, this guy has the Father's heart." And I told my wife this: God has chosen that man and his church, I don't even know them, to carry the Father's heart to Africa. About a month ago, an intercessor of mine from another city called me. She goes, "Pastor Brian, I know you're going to Africa. There's just something about the Father's heart for Africa. And there's just something going to go viral in Africa, you know, just with the Father's initiative, carrying the Father's heart." You know, so this morning I got up and looked up C3I Church. You know, what is that? And so I go to your website and see, we're all about revealing the Father's heart. And so I just want to say to you, thank you for being here. Thank you for carrying the Father's heart. And I believe that God has chosen this church. You have a destiny, a calling on your church to carry the Father's heart to Pretoria, to carry the Father's heart to South Africa, to carry the Father's heart to a continent with 1.3 billion people that need to know the Father. Could I get at least one amen there? Would have been good. And to carry the Father's heart to the nations of the earth. So I've been in big churches. I've been in small churches. That doesn't impress me. But when I see the Spirit church, then I pay attention. I'm telling you, guys are just overflowing with the presence of God. You're already an excellent, vibrant, growing church. You didn't need some white guy from Albuquerque to tell you that, but I'm telling you, you guys are on the verge of a major revival. God chooses local churches to host revival throughout church history. I'm telling you, this church is chosen by God to be a carrier of the Father's heart and to host a global revival. And so we'll be watching you on TV. So hey man, one more time, just give Jesus, if you're going to give him a praise, give him a good one. Come on, somebody praise him like he died for you. Amen, amen, all right. Hey, stand to your feet. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I like to kick it old school, and so if you can stand with me for the reading of God's word. I'm going to stand about 30 minutes, so I don't mind asking you to stand for 1 minute, all right? So don't give me those dirty looks, all right? And you know who you are in the third row. Okay, all right, 1 Timothy 2, we're going to start in verse 1. I want you to read it with me, all together, with our out loud voices. All right, here we go, 1, 2, 3. "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness." Verse 3, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people." Now, I can tell this is church. This is a word church. You guys know your Bibles. So I just want to ask you a theological question, just exegeting this passage. What would you say is the main theme? It's in red, just in case you're colorblind, all right? So anyone want to just shout out? When you know the answer, say it. I didn't hear you. Too much Guns N' Roses in the 80s. Let me hear you say it. All right, so all people, three times, he says, all people. No, I'm saying in the passage. Oh, you guys are good. Yeah, five steps ahead of me. No, I'm saying three times in the passage, it says all people, right? So pray, everybody say, pray for all people.
Pray for all people.
All right, say God wants
all people saved.
All people. All right, now say this. Jesus gave his life as a ransom for all people. So today we're going to talk about all people. Touch your neighbor and say all people. Now touch the other neighbor, the good-looking one, and say all people. All right, give somebody a high five in God's presence as you grab your seats in the house today. So Paul uses a Greek word, anthropos. A lot of young people here today, any college students, what English word do you think we might get from a Greek word called anthropos? Anthropology. So three times he uses this word, and it means every human being. Pray for every human being on the planet. There are now 8 billion of us. And that we know of in church history, no generation alive has ever prayed for every person alive in their generation. It's one thing to say, God bless Africa, all 1.3 billion. God bless South Africa, all 60 plus million. But to pray for every person. See, the Bible says in Isaiah 43:1, I've called you by name. John 10:3 says, the good shepherd calls his sheep how? By name. Luke 10:20, he sends the 70 out in pairs. In other words, don't do ministry alone. Right? If you want to go fast, go alone. You want to go far, go together. Apparently that's an African proverb. At least that's what they say in America. None of my friends in Africa had ever heard it before. But anyway, somewhere that's an African proverb somewhere, right? And so he sends it out in pairs, and they go do the gospel. They preach. Jesus said, go preach the gospel, cure the lepers, heal the sick, raise the dead, and drive out demons. As the Father sent me, now I send you. And they come back. We don't know if it was a few weeks, a few months. They come back like, hey, man, this Jesus stuff really works. He's like, I know, I invented it. Pretty cool, right? And they're like, yeah. And he's like, in Luke 10:20, but don't rejoice at your names, that the demons are subject to you. Rejoice, your names are written in heaven. Now we get to Revelation 21, and there's an angel, and there's a book called the Lamb's Book of Life, and he's writing down names. Names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not people groups. So just full disclosure, I'm half German on my mom's side. That's why I came out albino. Thank you, Mom. And I don't ever get to tan. I just burn. You know, my wife's Latin, and she has this golden tan, and I just burn. You know, I'm just like, this is not fun, you know. And so German on my mom's side. My dad's side is Hispanic. And so that just means I got all kinds of anger issues that I'm working through with a counselor and the Word of God. Amen. But you know, when I got saved at the age of 4 in Guatemala as a missionary kid, the Heineke family in Germany didn't get saved. They're still drinking the Heineken beer. Amen. None of you have ever tried it, but you've seen the commercials, okay? It's one of Germany's best exports, along with the BMW, right? So like my mom's family didn't get saved. I got saved. And here's why. God doesn't have any grandkids. God is not a grandpa. He's a father. He only has children. And we all come one at a time. I can't get saved for my kids. They have to choose Christ for themselves. Amen. So we're on this mission, this global vision, to pray for 8 billion people by name. You say, that's totally insane. That's what I thought. I said, God, this is crazy. I've done some stupid stuff. I've done some insane stuff in my life. This is just berserk, Lord. How would we pray for 8 billion people? And you know, God gave us a real simple strategy. Everyone raise your right hand. How many fingers you got? Wave them at me. 5. One place God only had 4. I said, it's okay. Borrow one from over here. You're good to go, brother. All right, so wave them at me. Wave them like you just don't care, like you just do care. Come on. All right, so all of us can pray for 5 people. Here's the truth. Every 7-year-old in this church knows 5 people. 5 rugby teammates, 5 soccer teammates, 5 golf teammates, 5 neighbors, 5 classmates, 5 friends, 5 family members. So the idea is this, that every believer just prays for 5 people that they know by name. And then you love on them, you share Christ with them. So we practice this with my kids. So I said, if I'm going to take this to the world, it better work at home. Right? Paul said, don't export what doesn't work at home. The husband must first be partaker of the fruits. If the tangerines ain't good, don't export them, okay? If you ain't in the bananas, don't export them to another country, right? And so we're like, all right, does this work? And so my daughter Lauren was 11 then. And I said, Lauren, would you pray for 5 friends? She said, I'll pray for 7. I was like, Overachiever, amen. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. And so we wrote their names, and my son wrote his names. My other daughter wrote their names. I have 18 I pray for every day. We wrote their names on a chalkboard, and every night in family altar, we pray for them. And when I travel, I FaceTime, and we pray for them. And so after about 2 weeks of praying for them, Lauren said, can I invite my friends over for Bible study? And you know, parents, they're just so excited to get rid of their kids for a few hours. Their moms are like, we can drop them off, free childcare every Friday for 3 hours. Yes, take them. Can we bring their siblings? No boys, just girls. So seven girls huddled in my house. My son and I took that as a clue that we should probably skip town. And so every Friday at 3 o'clock, we're like, hey, we're praying for you. Love you guys. House full of women. We're out of here. And we would go do fun stuff and then come back. And after 7 weeks, she said, Mom, next week, I want to share the gospel. Can you let me share the gospel? So my wife coached her on. She's 11. And then she shared her testimony and she shared the gospel. Five of her friends accepted Christ in our home.
Wow.
Come on. So this works. All right. So everybody say, pray for five. Lift up your hand and say, I will pray for five. If you don't know five people who need Jesus, you need some new friends. You've been saved way too long. Okay, if you don't know five people who need Jesus, you've been saved way too long. All right, get out of the light club, go back to the nightclub, make some friends. All right, so years ago, I'd already had my master's degree, and I was just so convicted because we were building networks all around the world, and I just am like, man, I think I've shared Christ with every unbeliever I know. Some of them got saved, a lot didn't, and a lot of them don't talk to him anymore. They blocked me on their phone because I was texting them Bible verses, and now I'm blocked, right? And so I'm like, I actually don't have any friends anymore. I've been saved way too long. And God convicted me. I was preaching in Italy, and God convicted me. I was preaching on evangelism, and God's like, you share the gospel at churches and people get saved. You're not actually doing evangelism. And I'm like, oh, snap, right? And I got convicted, and I went home, and where am I going to make friends? Where does a guy my age make, like, unsaved friends? My wife's not going to let me go to the club. Not going to happen. All right, like, what, you know, I'm not really a beer drinker. Where am I going to make friends? So I went back to college, and I already had a master's degree, went to my undergraduate, and took the communications course. And so, and that's when I realized how rusty I was at evangelism, because communications class, Professor Lisa said, all right, just take 30 seconds to get up, kind of tell us your name, you know, what something fun about you, and describe yourself in one word. And so, you know, they were like, standing up, my name's Mike, I don't do anything fun, and I live at home with my parents, and this is a required class. So it's like, well, that was lame, you know? And the next guy, I'm just like, oh, man, I can't wait. So I stood up, and I'm like, hey, I'm Brian, and if I could describe myself in one word, it's passion, and I'm passionate about Jesus. Crickets, right? I was like, well, anyhow, hey, look, and I'm here because I want to make friends, you know? Someone looks away. I was like, that didn't land. In my mind, that played out a lot differently, right? And so I was like, oh, man, you're rusty, bro. You got to get back in the game. So to get your neighbor and say, get back in the game. And I was like, oh, man, that was awful. And so I'm like, oh, the rest of the class, I just sat with my dunce cap on, sit in the little circle of shame. You know, I was like, oh, man. We broke into groups. Nobody would sit with me. I was like, oh, no, you know, totally ruined this gig. And so in the class, I'm walking out, and Professor Lisa says, Allard, come back in here. I was like, oh, hey, Dr. Lisa, great to meet you. She goes, am I going to have trouble with you this semester? I said, Lisa, no. Yeah, that was awkward. I apologize. That was awful. And she said, because I don't tolerate religious intolerance in my classroom. I'm like, well, I just said that I love, we don't do that here. And so if I'm going to have trouble with you, might as well just drop my class now because I will drop you. I was like, Lisa, I'm really not a religious person. I just really love Jesus. She's like, whatever. And I was like, okay. And she goes, what do you do? I said, well, I lead a global network and this kind of thing. And she's like, great, so you're a preacher. And I'm like, yeah, but listen, you won't have any problem with me. I just really love people. I'm passionate. I'm sorry. I'll dial it down. All right. So, you know, I live in fifth gear, so I'll find first gear. And so, you know, she goes, well, I'm about to walk out. And she goes, hey, you know, I used to be a Christian. I said, oh, yeah. She goes, no, I'm an atheist. So that's great for you. And she said, but I think if there is a God, she's definitely a woman. I said, okay, you know, bye, you know? And she goes, doesn't that bother you? I was like, not particularly. And she goes, why not? Why would that bother me? Because you're a Christian. And I just said, if there's no God, I'm sorry, she's a woman. I'm sorry, Lisa. I'm okay. I mean, you're welcome to believe what you want to believe. She goes, any Christian I ever said that to you got them all riled up and it didn't bother you. Now I'm upset that you're not upset. I was like, what game are we playing here? Like, is this, I'm on a reality show, you know? And I'm like, what's going on here? You know, I just wanted to get out, trying to make friends. The opposite is happening. So I'm like, yeah, this is going downhill already real fast. And so I say, hey, Lisa, I totally respect, you know, whatever beliefs you have. You know, that's fine. And she goes, you're not bothered by that? It came. And I was like, no. I said, here's why. Because Jesus loves you so much. He's in heaven, and he doesn't have an identity crisis. So he's not worried if you think he's a guy or a female or he doesn't exist, because he exists, and he loves you, and he died on a cross for you. And he put me in this class just to show you his love. She's like, all right, have a good day. And I was like, well, dang it. Mercy's like, did you make any friends? No friends. You know, I may not be welcome back next week. And so next class comes, and after Allard, stay behind. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a religion debate every week, you know. I didn't sign up for that. And so she goes, hey, sit a few minutes, talk to me. And so what about this and this? Hey, you're a decent communicator. Well, you know, I'm a public speaker. Oh, where all have you spoken? I don't know, about 40 countries. And, well, what do you talk about? Topics, you know, family, marriage, life, love, Jesus, you know, oh, there it is again. I'm like, you asked me what I'm talking about. What do you want me to say? And so, you know, she says, hey, how about you're a very interesting person. I don't like your religion, but you're pretty interesting. You're a pretty nice guy. Can I take you to lunch next week? I'm like, okay, yeah, if you want. So we go to lunch, and then she's like, hey, I want to meet your wife. I said, yeah, why don't you come over to our house for dinner? So she came to our house for dinner, and she met my wife, who's like the most amazing person ever, and she fell in love with my wife. And then Easter comes around in the semester. She goes, hey, why don't you come to our house and my house, and we'll paint Easter eggs? You know, because Easter's kind of your thing, right? And I'm like, yeah, but the eggs, not so much. Yeah, it's kind of a pagan bunny thing. Never mind. But Easter's my thing. And she goes, come on over. I'm like, I hate Easter eggs. If you love them, my kids love them. I'm just not a paint the Easter egg kind of guy, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's buy eggs, let's sell them, let's make a profit, and go start a church somewhere. I don't want to paint an Easter egg. I have staff to do. I don't want to paint any. I didn't have kids then. Pre-kids day, now I paint eggs. But thanks to my kids. But so she came over, we went to her house, we painted the eggs, whatever. And she's like, so Easter eggs, what's that all about? I was like, yeah, that doesn't really work. It's about Jesus. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. But anyhow, egg can be a symbol of life. You get it? It's an embryo kind of, oh, I guess. Yeah, it's not a great fit, really, you know? And America can commercialize and destroy anything. That's what we're great at that. So I was like, yeah, it's not a great thing. And so in the semester comes, and she said, hey, could I have lunch with you and Mercy again? I said, sure, let's go to Olive Garden, a little Italian restaurant. So, there were fettuccine Alfredo. She goes, you know, that first day, you really disturbed me. I was really upset, like, oh, just religious, intolerant, da-da-da-da. She goes, and I got to know you, and you're like, just like a really nice guy, like overly nice. And I thought, that's not real. He can't be really that nice. And then I found out you actually were that nice. You're like, you're a really nice guy. Thanks. My life's complete. Like, I can die and go to heaven. I'm a nice guy. Thanks. Lisa, appreciate it. And she goes, but just as I interacted with you and saw you and got to know you, it just began asking questions that I haven't asked in years about my faith and what I really believe about God and all that, you know. And she said, you know, I got hurt along the way. See, I figured that. And it was just a lot of pain. I said, I've been through a lot of pain. Mercy and I are happy people, but you don't know the pain we've been through. And I totally get that. She goes, how are you so happy, though? I said, I know that you don't like hearing this, but really it's Jesus. And I don't mean that in a religious way. I just mean in a personal way. He lives inside my heart through this thing called the Holy Spirit. And it just gives me joy. in spite of a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, a lot of brokenness. You know, around that time, my brother was in prison for drug trafficking. It's interesting, though, he didn't go to prison for drug trafficking, but to prison for stealing my identity. And so a lot of pain, a lot of brokenness. And I said, but you know, Jesus gives me joy. And she said, I haven't been happy in years. I want what you have. And I said, Lisa, you can have what I have. It's just so simple, because he did it all. Religion is we got to work our way to God. We got to be a good person. We got to go to church on Sunday. We got to open the door at the grocery store for elderly women. You know, we got to, you know, whatever. It's just, no, that's religion. I don't like religion. Religion kills. This is about Jesus and what he did for you. He did it all. You just got to believe it and accept it and bring come to God in your sin, with your sin, and leave him at the altar. How about that? He did it all. Do you want that? And she said, I do. And right over pasta, fettuccine Alfredo, she gave her life to Jesus Christ. Why don't you give God a shout of praise? So here's the simple strategy, okay? It's called bless. Everybody say bless.
Bless.
Let me tell you how I made a difference in Lisa's life. It's just something called bless. Say it again. Say bless.
Bless.
Look at your neighbor and say bless you.
Bless
you. All right, real simple. All right, so B stands for begin with prayer. Everybody say begin with prayer.
Begin.
One more time, like you mean it. Say begin with prayer. A little stronger, say begin with prayer.
Begin with prayer.
All right, awesome. All right, now L stands for listen to them. Everybody say listen to them. One more time, say listen to them.
Listen to them.
All right, E stands for eat with them. Everybody say eat with them.
Eat with them.
One more time, say eat with them.
Eat with them.
S stands for serve. Everybody say serve.
Serve.
And the last S stands for share. Everybody say share.
Share.
All right, so real quick, raise your right hand, all right, and say bless.
Bless.
Say begin with prayer.
Begin with
listen
prayer.
To them.
Listen to them.
Eat with them.
Eat with
serve
them.
Them. And share Jesus. You got it? Is it in the vault? You got it locked away? Just a real simple strategy for relational evangelism. You know, that day I went home and I thought, man, my professor's been hurt. That's what I knew. Someone, a male hurt her. A man somewhere hurt her real bad. And I began praying for her by name. Just every day I wrote her in my Bible journal. Every day I'd wake up and I'd pray for Lisa. And begin with prayer. Start praying for people. Take five people and start praying for them by name. Right now, I want you to think about who are some people you know, maybe a coworker, a classmate, a teammate, a friend, a neighbor, somebody that you know in your circle of influence who needs Jesus, all right? Maybe you start with one, two, three, four, five. I pray for 18 a day, so I don't mind asking you to pray for five, all right? But if you're not ready for five, start with one. Don't say, oh, that Allard guy, five peeps. Start with one, all right? Could you start there?
Yeah.
Could everyone imagine if each of you reached one person for Christ this year.
Wow.
This church would double in 1 year.
Sure.
All right, so begin with prayer. Pray for them by name. And then listen to them. So sat with Lisa. We had conversation. We got to know each other. We broke bread multiple times. So here's the deal. You're going to eat 21 meals a week. Could you share one of them with an unbeliever? You're going to have about 21 meals a week. Well, say less than 5% if my math is right. Could you just share one of those with an unbeliever? One a week. Imagine if 50 meals this next year you broke bread with people far from God. Neighbors, coworkers, classmates, teammates, friends, family members who need Jesus. And you just broke bread with them. And you didn't start with religion. You didn't start with church. You start with love. So, Jesus gave us his plan for evangelism. A lot of people read the Bible and miss it. It's real simple. And an attorney asked Jesus this question, what's the greatest command? Matthew 22, 37. He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second commandment is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. That's God's evangelism plan. Everyone love the people around you, the people in your circle of influence. Love them well. Because water always beats rock, and love always wins. And love will open the hardest of hearts to the gospel. My brother went to university with a 4.2 GPA. got a presidential scholarship, top of his class. I had a 4.0. I was really mad that my brother got a 4.2, but we're not competitive at all, though. So anyhow, he went to college, but he got involved in drugs, and he became an addict and became a drug dealer. Worked for a gentleman named El Chapo, who was the most wanted list for about 20 years. He leads the Sinaloa cartel in Mexico. It's the largest, bloodiest cartel on the entire planet. And brought major drugs into America for about 15 years. And then up a heroin addict living on the street. And he got arrested. He used my identity. And it was on the television. I was already pastoring in my city. I'd planted a church. And it was on TV. And it was on the newspapers. And I'm like, so I had to go clear my name and found that he'd done it 28 times. 28 times been arrested with my identity. As much as I travel, I'm going to get stuck like in a suited jail somewhere and never get out. You know, I'm like, this is bad. So I had to clear my name. He went to prison. But love wins. Love wins. And prayer works. And this is about the Father's heart, because God wants every prodigal to come home. How many of you have at least one prodigal in your family? Just one person in your family who's just not like serving Jesus. That's it? Not more of you? Come on. How many have at least one prodigal in your family? Come on, be honest, right? If they're sitting with you, it's okay. They don't have to know it's them, you know? Like, sorry, son, you're far from God, you know? All right? The Father's heart is that every prodigal would come home. He's the kind of father who stood at the doorpost looking and waiting every day. And the only time we ever saw God run is when he saw his son and he ran. Because that's the Father's heart, to bring all his sons and all his daughters. And so, you know, about 10 years ago in a prison cell, God met my brother. And he repented and he came back to Christ. Now he pastors a brilliant church, 3 campuses, leads about 1,000 people to Christ every year. I'm on his board. God restored us. And on the very table where the police came and I had to sign the police report that he'd stolen my identity. 7 years later, almost to the day, I signed his marriage certificate as he got married. See, nobody is too far from God. C.S. Lewis said, you've never met a mere mortal, right? There's no ordinary people. God loves everybody. And everyone's created in the image of God. And God wants to use you to reach your families. He wants to use you to reach your friends. He wants to use you to be a missionary on your college campus, on your school campus, to be a light. And to be hope and to be love and to be encouragement. So I want to invite you today just to take this challenge. Would you pray for 5 people every day by name? Sure. If you can't do 5, start with 1, all right? And work your way up. Pray for them, listen to them, eat with them, serve them, and then share Jesus. Yeah. See, the problem is we start with the gospel instead of starting with love. Yeah. Hey, bloke, did you know you're a sinner? Why'd you have to point it out? You know, it's like, you're going to hell, so are you. You go to hell. You know, it's like, hey, man, but Jesus died for you. Who's Jesus? You know, it's like, do you want that? No, what are you talking? What are you smoking, you know? All right, man, you judge yourself unworthy of eternal life. What are you talking about, man? They don't like you. They didn't like your presentation. They love our Jesus. Most people in the world love Jesus. They just don't like his followers because we're obnoxious. We're not loving. We're judgmental. Watch out. And I'm just talking about the American church right now, okay? But we become so judgmental, and people don't want judgment. They want hope. They want love. They want life. And when I started leading with love, I'll tell you one story in closing about my friend named Maz. If you'll loan me 3 more minutes, I promise to give him back. But a friend of mine named Maz got out of prison, been in prison for 12 years, was a Muslim. And I met him. His brother had got saved at my church. And so I met him, and I said, Maz, I want to be your friend. So I wrote his name in my Bible, Maz. I prayed for him every day by name. And I took him the first time and listened to him. I took him to coffee at Starbucks, one of the few things good America's exported. Amen. Any Starbucks fans out there, all right? So I went to Starbucks, and I said, Maz, I want to be your friend. Tell me your story. He said, it's an ugly story. I said, hey, man, we all got skeletons in the closet. We've all made mistakes. My brother's in prison right now for drug trafficking, so I don't think anything less of you. He said, well, you know, when I was 9 years old in Cleveland, Ohio, my stepdad, who was a Christian, got me selling drugs, and he started abusing me. And so I hate Christians. I hate Christians. That's why I became a Muslim. And I said, Maz, that's real. Thank you for sharing that. I'm so sorry. Please let me ask forgiveness on behalf of your stepfather. That wasn't a real Christian, but it's the only Christian you knew. I could see why you would hate Christians. In fact, there's quite a few Christians I don't like either. So I said, hey, man, I get it, bro. And I said, would you allow me to be a different kind of Christ follower? He said, if you're going to try and convert me, it won't work because I've read the Quran 5 times. I'm a Muslim. You can't convert me. I said, I'm not going to try and convert you. He said, I don't believe you. I said, I'm telling you the truth, man. He goes, I don't believe you. I said, I know you don't. You just met me, but I'm telling you the truth. I'm not going to try and convert you. Psh, whatever. And I said, here's all I ask. When I've earned your trust, not today. It takes a year or 5 years or 10 years. When I've earned your trust, would you allow with me to share with you about the prophet Isa? Right? You would know that Isa is the Arabic name for Jesus.
Yes.
If I had said Jesus Christ, that would have been immediate walls. I used the Arabic name for Jesus, right? Arose by any other name. Come on, somebody. All right, so I used the name Isa, and I said, I've read your holy book 3 times. And I said, Muhammad talked a lot about the prophet Isa, so I don't think your prophet would mind if we talked about one of his prophets, right? Well, I guess not. And I said, but not today, when I've earned your trust. And so I wrote his name down. I prayed for him every day by name. I listened to him. We started eating together at least once a month. And I told my wife, I really like this guy. Like, besides being like a drug dealer and a Muslim and a murderer, he's a really great guy. I mean, hey, nobody's perfect, right? Everybody makes mistakes, right? Like, you know, besides that, like, it's just so cool, you know? And he's a bodybuilder and I'm not. Like, you know, I want muscles like him. And he's just, like, really cool, you know? And became really good friends. And at least once a month, breaking bread in my home. Went and played basketball together. He destroyed me. Never played again. We just started watching NBA. And, like, let's watch LeBron James because that was embarrassing. And so, you know, ate with them. I served them. I said, Maz, how could I serve you? Do you need a place to live? He said, no, I'm living with my mom. What I need is a job. Because I have violent crimes on my record, and I can't find a job. Even at McDonald's won't hire me. I said, what are you good at? That's literally what he said. Shooting people and selling drugs. I can't help you there. My brother could help you. I can't help you there, Maz. But you seem like a really intelligent, you're an entrepreneur, I can see. He's a businessman. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you can be nice, right? So I said, you're an entrepreneur. You built a very successful business. You made a lot of money selling drugs. And so I said, you know. I said, hey, what else do you get? He goes, I used to work on cars. I said, hey, man, I'll get you a job at a body shop. I got him a job. And so find an itch and scratch it. Find a need and serve it in somebody's life. Because Jesus taught us to be the servant of all. Matthew 20, 26, 27, and 28. The Son of Man came to not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Matthew 5, 16. Let them see your good works, and then they will glorify your Father in heaven. We want people to glorify our Father in heaven. They haven't seen any good works coming out of us.
Beautiful, Brian.
Are you with me? And so I served him, helped him get a job. And I just prayed for 16 months. About 16 months in, woke up one morning, the Father said, today's the day. Sure. Today's the day of salvation for Maz. So I called him up and said, Maz, hey, man, you want to grab lunch? No, man, I'm busy. I'm working. I said, how about afterwards? He goes, yeah, I can grab coffee. So we went back to Starbucks. 5301 Coors Boulevard. It's a place that changed my life. I sat down with Maz, and I said, Maz, remember the first question I asked you when I met you? You said, no. I said, I asked you when I earned your trust if we could talk about the prophet Isa. Do you trust me? He said, yo, Pastor B, I trust you. I said, no, man, for real. Do you trust me? He said, with my life. I said, in fact, you're the only white person I've ever trusted. It's like, thanks, I think. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay. Anyhow, you know, pass the white chocolate mocha. You know, I was like, what? And so I said, all right, man, then can we talk about the prophet Isa? He said, all right. I said, I've read your holy book 3 times. And I said, the prophet Isa said the prophet Muhammad said that Isa was the Messiah. He goes, yeah. I said, my book teaches the same thing. Isn't that cool? Amen. I guess. And I was like, your book teaches that he was a prophet sent by God who did miracles. My book teaches the same thing. Isn't that awesome? He's like, okay, you know. And I said, your book teaches he was born to the Virgin Mary. My book says the same thing. It's just awesome. And he goes, yeah, okay. So I just walked him through 13 things the Quran teaches about Isa, about Jesus. So he walked in, and the Quran says that Isa, the Messiah, will come again in the last days. Does that sound familiar?
Yes. Yeah.
He's going to be our return and coming king, all right? That's what the Quran teaches. So let me ask you a question, Maz. You're a very intelligent man. Let me ask you a question. Is there any chance Muhammad got it wrong about the prophet Isa? He goes, no. Got upset, and I said, is there any chance he's a false prophet? No. You're sure about that? He goes, yes. Okay. So, there doesn't exist any possibility that he was a false prophet and a false teacher. No! Reverse psychology is a beautiful thing, my brother. And I said, okay, all right. So since you've established that it's an impossibility that he was a false prophet, let me share with you one more thing that he taught. He said, it's not going to be found in your book. It is in my book. And it was testified by 500 of his followers. And 24 of them are, we have their names and their addresses in our book, so you could go verify that he actually said this. And I said, so it's rock solid that he actually said this. But he taught that not only he was the Messiah and prophet and coming king, but he also taught that he is the Son of God and God in the flesh, and he's the only way to the Father. I just shared the simple gospel, and Maz, the follower of Muhammad, the Muslim, the murderer, became a follower of Jesus Christ. And all his sins were washed away, and his name was written in a book in heaven. Can I get an amen? Stand to your feet. If you can stand with me today. I want to ask you to make 5 commitments today. And you start with love. You start with love. Because every Muslim, every Hindu, every atheist, every person far from God needs love. Yeah. Every Christian needs love. When you start with love, let love set the table. Amen. And you start with friendship. Yep. Of course, I worked for Billy Graham for many years, okay? Of course, I'm a gospel guy. Of course, I believe Romans 1:16. You know, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for the salvation of all those who believe. Mm-hmm. Of course. But it never said we had to start with the gospel. We start with love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. If I had started with Maz, and I said, yo, Maz, do you know you serve a false God? Did you know that? You serve a false book and you're going to hell? He would have killed me, gone back to prison. My kids would be orphans, all right? I would not be here talking to you today. But when you start with love, I tell you, God changed my life more than I think he did Maz. And I began to love Muslims in a way that before was only theoretical. Well, sure, we love all people everywhere, so yeah. But it became very personal for me. My brother was a drug dealer and an addict. It was very embarrassing. It was very painful. He stole my identity. And I began to love drug addicts, began to love drug dealers, and it became personal for me. I want to invite you today. Start with one. Maybe one day you'll get to 5. If you can do 5, do 5. But pray for 5 people by name. And bless them, all right? And I want to ask you to make a commitment to God today, not to me, because I won't be here next Sunday. Make a commitment with you and your God. I'm going to give you 5 verbs, 5 actions, 5 commitments, all right? So raise your hand high to heaven, both your hands, and say, I will pray.
I will pray.
Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, I will pray, for my friends. Say it again. Say, I will pray for my friends. I will listen to them. I will eat with them. I will serve them. And I will share Jesus. Come on, one more time. Say, I will pray for them. I will listen to them. I will eat with them. I will serve them. And I will share Jesus. I want to pray for you. And I want you to ask God to put on your heart at least one person. He might put 2. He might put 3. He might put 5. But at least one person or 2, maybe 5. In your circle, maybe a classmate, maybe a teammate, maybe a coworker, maybe a neighbor, maybe a friend, maybe a relative, somebody in your circle who needs Jesus. make a commitment to pray for them by name, listen to them, eat with them, serve them, and let love lead the way. Let the Spirit move you and lead you when and where and how to share the gospel. But start with love and start with prayer, because prayer changes everything. Prayer changes everything.